goodsuccess.com.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to be in your presence once again today. Thank you because you are ready to unveil your word of truth and your word of life to us. Let no one return back the same way and change everyone's story. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. We are welcome again today. I'm so excited. Today we are having the 40th episode, meaning that consistently we've had the Secret Flow Good Success Podcast for 40 consecutive Sundays without fail. And God has been sending his word of blessing to us, to you and I. I've been super blessed myself, and I want to believe you have also been blessed. So please, you can drop your testimonies to me directly, to my private chat, maybe WhatsApp or Telegram. If God has done anything for you over this past 40 weeks, you've been able to make good decisions, you've been able to avoid consequences, all the things we've gone through, you've been able to reach out to people and be a blessing to people the more, please drop your testimonies. Very important. You can also indicate if you want your name to be shown on the website or not, but please let me know. Drop your testimony, just maybe something little or much, whatever it is. Since I've joined, this is what has happened. Please, I really appreciate that. And may you be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, episode 40, the topic remains the law of frank and truthful conversations. Praise the Lord. Last week, we concluded the episode on the law of forgiveness. Episode 38, we talked about the law of forgiveness, how important it is to forgive people and the benefits of forgiveness. And last week we talked about how to undo hurts and offenses, and we're able to understand why hurts and offenses come, and why somebody will say something that will not offend you while another person will say the same set of things and it will get you offended. We talked about proximity, trust, love, and respect, that when these things are in place, what someone else does may actually make what they have done to lead to hurt and offenses. That's when they offend you, it gets to you more, it leads to more hurt and offense. And we were able to talk about how to overcome all these things. We talked about analyze, interpret, weed, sow, water, uproot, and plant again. Please listen to that episode. Even if you have listened again, you can still listen, and I believe you'll be blessed in Jesus' name. So today, we are talking about the right attitudes for good success, part 3, which is the law of frank and truthful conversations. Law of frank and truthful conversations. Let's read the scripture, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. It says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. This scripture was written to the Ephesian believers. They were believers in the city of Ephesus. They were not written to unbelievers, which should be a concern to you and I. Now, why is it that Paul the Apostle, a spirit-filled man, was telling born-again people, believers, that they should speak truth with their neighbors, truth with one another? That means probably lying was in the church, or people were covering the truth, or they were just speaking the truth under the tongue, so to say. But God is telling you and I that there is a way that truth must be told. There is a way that truth has to be spoken. And I believe we'll all be blessed after today's episode in Jesus' name. So it will surprise you to know that many people on earth do not even enter into useful conversations. People talk about ball, people talk about different things, but how many of the things we talk about are actually useful conversations in quotes? People are find it easy to like your comments. They can put the love emoji or the smiley emoji, but how many people can really engage in conversations? Useful conversations. So if people are not even talking at all, how can they even engage in useful conversations? Additionally, few people speak frankly and truthfully. Very few people speak frankly and truthfully with other people. But sadly, very few Christians can be trusted with their words. That means, let me even ask you and I today, If a Christian brother should walk up to you and tell you something, how many of you will believe what is said 100%? And you have any iota of doubt? In those days, the fathers of faith told us that when a Christian, somebody who is a believer, a born-again person, says something, you just believe it. Because you know they are not going to tell lies. But today, even if your pastor tells you something, you still may want to doubt. Why? Because lying has now become a way of life for Christians, and it was never meant to be. So God wants us to speak the truth at all times, always. So conversation is really important, but much more important is the ability to look at people in the eye, especially loved ones, and tell them the frank truth without being heartless at it. You know, there's a thin line between telling people the truth frankly and being heartless, in quotes. So God wants us to be able to look at people in the eye, your friends, your family members, your loved ones, and tell them the truth the way it is, without even changing it in any way. Telling them that this is wrong, this is right, you are not supposed to do this, you are supposed to do this. God wants us to do that. Okay, let me just give us a background. I call this my journey in truthfulness. I know I'm a little boy, but I can share some experience. I know when we were growing up, the issue of being born again, SU and all those things were not glamorous like it is now. You see a lot, everybody says, oh, I'm born again, and it's more like a fashion thing now. But then when I was growing up in a small town then, when you say you are born again, people start making jest of you. And it was really strange. But then we learned a lot of things when I gave my life to Christ, that telling a lie will take you to hell. So I was scared of God. I knew that when you speak the truth, God is happy. But when you tell a lie and Jesus comes, you are just going to hell. So then, you know, maybe an elderly person in the house, you know, we had a big house then. An elderly person in the house could say, oh, can you help me see this? Somebody's coming to look for me. Tell them I'm not at home. I wouldn't do it then. I was very small. I knew the consequences of you disobeying an elderly person. But what I want to tell you today is, if you really determine to follow God and to serve God, there is always a way out. You know what I used to do then? Either I go and hide myself so that when the person comes, he will not even see me at all. So I'm not going to lie, because I wasn't going to lie and I wasn't going to disrespect that person, because it's a person of authority. So it's either I go to lie or I pray that that person will not even come in. But what I'm just trying to say is, if you want to be truthful, you'll be truthful. It is possible. It may be difficult. It may come with its own stigmatization. People will make jest of you. A lot of things will happen. You will lose relationships. You can lose money because you want to speak the truth. But I tell you, the benefits of speaking the truth at all times outweigh whatever you think you may gain for not speaking the truth. So that takes us to the next subtopic. Who should I have truthful and frank talk with? Who should I tell the truth to? Who should I be telling what is right or what is wrong? People's relationship with you determines how much of frankness you can use in telling them the truth. Now, we must know that the way you deal with one person is not the same way you're going to deal with another person. Let's say your pastor just told a lie before you. Are you just going to look at his face and tell him, Pastor, you just told a lie? No. You may be able to correct him, but you can't be so frank with him. But let's say your child just told a lie. You can be frank and tell him straight away that no, what you did is wrong. And we must understand that being frank may be negotiable, but being truthful is non-negotiable. You have to speak the truth at all times. The Bible says all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. That means God specifically removed lie from all the sins, and he mentioned it clearly that when somebody is engaging in lies, he is playing with the lake of fire, with hell. That is what God is saying. So it means that no matter what, you still have to tell the truth. Whichever way you have to tell it, the truth must still be told. You cannot afford to lie. I know this may sound a little difficult, but it is possible, and God empowers us to do it. Praise the Lord. So let's look at a list of people we need to have truthful and frank conversations with. Number one is yourself, you and I. I need to tell myself the truth at all times, and you need to tell yourself the truth at all times. That is where it starts from. Because every lie begins with you lying to yourself in the first place. For example, maybe you wanted to woo a girl and you wanted to make sure the girl thinks you are rich. You first deceive yourself that I have this, I have that, when you really don't have them. So it all begins with you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11:31, says, if you do not judge ourselves, we will be judged. So before you start telling anybody the truth, before you become frank with people and tell them what is right and what is wrong, you need to be frank with yourself. I need to be frank with myself. I need to tell myself the truth at all times. Praise God. So, did you know that we often tell ourselves what we wish was true rather than what is actually true? Marketers know this very well. Marketers appeal to your emotions. They appeal to what you feel and what you like. Do you know that most times we buy things with emotions and justify it later with reason? People buy things with emotion. For example, you want to buy a car. What are the things you need in a car? Number one, you need a car that can transport you from point A to point B. That is the major need of a car. That means where you will have walked in 1 hour, you can get there in 10 minutes. That is the main purpose of a car. Does that mean you have to buy a jalopy car? Of course not. But what I'm trying to point out is that you can tell yourself that, okay, I need to buy the latest Mercedes in town, the brand new car, and gather all the money you have in the world, borrow money to buy the car. But at the same time, since your major need is to move from point A to point B, all you need is, because of your budget at the moment, because of the money you have at the moment, because of your income at the moment, all you need is find a car that can serve the purpose that is still fairly comfortable at the moment, while you grow into the level where you can buy a brand new car. So telling yourself the truth that, okay, what I need is a car that I can use to convey my family when I'm going to church, I'm going to work or whatever, that is the major need. So all the little things can be added to it. But don't tell yourself that, okay, safety, all these things, all the other things, you add them together, now go beyond your budget. No. So tell yourself the truth. Why do I want to buy this thing I want to buy? Ask yourself, what is the real reason behind it? I need to buy an extra coat. I need to buy an extra shoe. I need to buy an extra clothes. Why do I need to buy an extra one? The ones I have now, is it possible for me to still use them? If you cannot afford the new one, then why do you have to buy it? Somebody will say, oh, we have an occasion, Ashwebi, of 20K. And you look at yourself, wait, all I can afford is a cloth of 2,000. So because you want to make that person happy, you now went to buy the cloth of 50K or 20K. No, you are not telling yourself the truth. So that is what it's all about. Telling yourself the truth. Separate your wants from your needs. That is the major step in telling yourself the truth. So number two, who are the people we should have frank conversations with? Your friends and loved ones. When your friend is going astray, it's not the time for you to start joking. No, you are going astray. Just like one of our pastors said today. He said he wanted to take a decision and he was going in a particular way. And his friend looked at him and said, see, if you do this, this is what will happen to you. He said his friend just told him the truth straight away. And he said it helped him to make the right decision. So your friends, your loved ones, look at them in the eye and tell them, this is the wrong decision. You can't take this. Don't sugarcoat it. Tell them straight up. No, this is what I think. This is what I don't think. That is it. So we need to be frank with our friends and loved ones. And our family members, that's number three. Our family members. We should be able to tell friends, loved ones, our family members, the things we can afford, the things we cannot afford, instead of putting yourself and your own family under pressure. For example, like I mentioned, you need a car. Maybe what you need is just a Toyota car that is comfortable, that you won't spend a lot of money on. Now you want to buy an high-end car that all your income will be going into. So that is not saying the truth. You are not telling yourself the truth. We need to buy a beautiful car. We need to be able to look good among our friends. But can you afford it? No, I can't afford it. This is what I'm going to do. Yes, I need to rent a 3-bedroom house. But can I afford it? This is what I can afford. Or if I can afford a 3-bedroom, can I afford it in this area of town? If you can't afford it, then just go to where you can afford. So telling your family the truth is very, very important too. Then number four, who am I supposed to be frank and truthful with? Your adversaries. Sometimes, not always. The Bible says, don't have conversations with a foolish man, so that he will think he is wise. And again, almost the same chapter, I think the next verse, he says, tell him the truth, so that he won't think he's wise. So that means there are sometimes you need to tell people the truth, your adversaries, the people against you, the people who are confronting you, you know, people who don't like you, you may have to tell them the truth sometimes and tell them that stop what you are doing because whatever you permit continues. For example, Jesus consistently told the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the truth. They didn't like him. He knew they were going to crucify him, but he didn't start making friends with them. He told them the truth always. Woe to you, Pharisees. Woe to you, Sadducees. If you are in that place, that's why I said sometimes. Sometimes you just need to tell them the truth. You need to tell somebody who's oppressing you that stop it. I cannot take this anymore. But sometimes you may have to be it while you escape. So this one comes with wisdom. So your adversaries are people you may have to tell the frank truth sometimes. Who are the people to be told the truth and to be frank with? Your customers and clients. There are some customers and some clients that they will keep demanding from you what they shouldn't demand. But because you are scared of losing them, you keep bending to them, bending to their rules, bending to what they want. So sometimes you need to look at them in the face and say, if you want this extra service, we're going to pay this extra money. And this comes with faith. If you leave, someone else can come. I know, yes, customer is king and all that. But there are times that it requires that you tell them the truth. See, this is not getting profitable. If I keep doing this extra service for you, if I keep adding this extra product for you, every time you buy something, no, I won't make money. So I need to start increasing. Sometimes you just need to increase how much you charge. If you are providing good service and you're not at the beginning stage of your business, you may just have to charge what is right. So telling your customers the truth may produce more good than what you actually fear. Telling your customers and clients the truth. If you cannot provide a service, don't tell them you can provide it when you know you cannot provide it. You are not saying the truth. If you can provide it, yes, I can provide it. If you cannot, I cannot do it. But maybe you can tell them someone else who can do it. Fine. But make sure you tell them the truth. Who are the people to tell the truth and be frank with? This one may surprise you. God. You must tell God the truth at all times. Sometimes some of us go to prayer. We start praying as if we are praying to a politician who needs to fix our road. But God knows the truth about you. He knows everything about you. You need something from God. You need wisdom. And now you go to God, you are now beginning to, you know, form for God, in quotes. No, tell God the truth. God, see, this situation, I don't know what to do. I need your wisdom. Father, four people have come to me to ask my hand in marriage. I don't know which to choose. God, help me. Say it to God the way it is. Tell him the truth. Father, this business, somebody brought a business proposition to me. I don't know what to do. I don't know whether I should take it or not. I'm scared. This project is big. I'm scared, God. Help me. Help me. Help my unbelief. Everybody that told Jesus, help my unbelief, they got what they wanted. So if you think your faith is not up to something, ask God to help you and prayerfully come up to that level of faith. Ask God for forgiveness. Be truthful. Some of us, you have sinned against God. Even in front of God, to whom all things are open, you are still trying to sugarcoat it and say, God, you know I made a mistake. You lied and you are saying you made a mistake. No, God, I'm sorry I just told a lie, a blatant lie. Father, forgive me. That is the attitude for good success. That is the attitude for receiving forgiveness. Ask God questions, frank questions. God, the way I'm going now, I think I'll be 200 years old before I can buy a house or I can own a house. God, what is the way out? Show me the way out. I need to escape this issue. God, help me. Help me. This is what you said about my life. This is what you said should be done to me. Why is it not done yet? God, what is the way out? So be frank with God. Be truthful with God. Don't start sugarcoating things for God. No, God knows everything. So be open before him. And may God help us in Jesus' name. What are the critical areas that require frank and truthful conversation? We just talked about people, now we're talking about areas. In making promises, that's number one. You need to be frank and truthful. Somebody in your family, a younger one, just called you and said, my bros, I need 100K for my project. And you know, he said he needs it by the end of the month. You know that even you, your salary is not 100K. Yes, they don't know. Maybe they know. But you know, as big bros now, they're asking you. And you said, okay, I will send you something. No, don't tell them you send them something. I will send you something, but it may not be more than 5K. So that he will know how to, in Yoruba, will say, Boshima Wakuni, I say, how he will go further to go and look for help. So when you are making promises, be frank with people. Tell them the exact way it is. Don't overpromise people and start telling them, don't worry, by the end of the month, I will send you money. At the end of the month, you can't even send anything. Or maybe you send 5K. Somebody said he needed 100K. You made it look like you're going to send the 100K. Telling yourself inside of yourself that you're having faith. No, that's not how to have faith. You have faith. Tell him that, okay, right now, I may not be able to send you more than this at the end of the month. But, no, if I can send more than that, I will be able to send more than that. So that is being frank and truthful with people. In making promises, be frank. Be truthful. Which other areas require frank and truthful conversation? In correcting people. Now, I want to paint two scenarios. If you told somebody, let me start with this. Now, if you grew up in the village, like some of us, and you step on a nail, you know how painful it is. How do you scream? Do you say, ouch? No, you say, yay. Because when you step on a nail, that is how painful it is. But when you are in the city and you are cutting something with your blade and it cuts you and you can say, ouch, they are not the same. The same way, when you tell people the truth, when you correct people, there's a way you correct people and people will feel, okay. And there's a way you correct people and the person will know that, yes, what you said is true. So in correcting people, especially loved ones, especially our family, especially our children, now I'm hammering on our children, especially our children, make them know the difference between right and wrong. This is wrong. This is right. Don't tell them, next time just make sure you do better. No. What you just did is wrong. Now, you can now tell them the truth. But let them first know what wrong is, that they have done it wrong. Then you can now tell them, this is what to do right. So, correcting people, how you correct people has different impact. For example, they said the statistics was done. I think it's Miles Moore that shared it or so. They said there was this preacher that was preaching, telling people about giving their lives to Christ and forsaking sins. Then there's another preacher that will come and say, God is not angry with you. He just wants you to leave your sins, forget it. You just come to God, be born again. Everybody got born again under both of them. But they said after several years, they went to check that out of, let's say, 100 people that got born again in the first person who hammered the truth straightway and told people the way the thing is, and the other person was, trying to make it fanciful and sugarcoating it, they said very few people under the last person still remained in the faith. While the first person, the person who told the truth the way it was, they said many of them were still born again after maybe like 50 years or so. I can't remember the number of years, but after several years, they were still in the faith and they were doing fine. So telling people the truth makes a lot of difference. I mean, frank talk. This is the way it is. This is not the way it is. May God help us in Jesus' name. Then, which areas requires frank and truthful conversation? In defending your faith. For example, you are born again. You know you are born again. But you are so comfortable around people who are drinking, who are smoking, who are engaging on all forms of immorality. Of course, Jesus wants us to still be their friends, so to say, in quotes. But you are not comfortable with their sin. You are comfortable with them, but you are not comfortable with their sin. Somebody will say, how do you do that? Now, when somebody says, he says he's going to do something wrong beside you, and you are in the midst of them, you are just comfortable, you are enjoying the conversation, you can say after the meeting and call him and say, see, this is not right. They should be able to know where you stand. That is just the major purpose of it. In defending your faith, Don't bend it. Somebody says, maybe because you want an interview and it's asked you a question about your faith. No, I've asked that before. There was somebody that I wanted to hire for something and I asked him, are you a Christian or not? He says, it depends. That was the end of it. Why would you say it depends? I'm a Christian. Be proud of it. If you're not giving me a job, fine. But I'm a child of God. I know that. You should be able to defend your faith. That is what I'm saying. Be frank. Be truthful. Be straightforward. Are you a Christian? Yes, I am a Christian. Don't try to cover it up. That means you're ashamed of Christ. No. In defending your faith, be frank and truthful at all times. See Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That is what we are saying. They look at it and say, King, we are not careful in this matter. About your gods, the question you just asked us, we are not going to bow to these gods because it is against what we believe. They were frank, they were truthful. And guess what happened? God delivered them. Every time you are truthful and frank in defending your faith, God will deliver you. It happened all through the Bible. And even if he doesn't deliver you in this world, of course you are sure of the world to come. Praise God. So which areas are we supposed to be frank and truthful? In planning and projecting the future. For example, somebody is planning a wedding. You know all you have is 100K and you are planning for a wedding of 1 million. Why? Why not just cut off all your necessary things? Be truthful in your planning. In projecting, be truthful. Plan based on what you have, not on what you don't have. God is going to supply. God is going to do everything, but plan based on what you have. Trusting God for what he will do, but plan based on what you have right now. Or what you are sure will come in. For example, you are sure your salary is going to come in. That is an assurance. So you can plan based on that. But don't plan based on the money that people promised you or that you are trusting God for. Yes, you are trusting God for it. But what you have right now should be enough to do whatever you want to do. So you can cut off on necessary things. In wedding, you are building a house. You know that all you can afford is a house that is not more than, I don't know how much a house costs now, maybe 10 million in a particular area of town. Now you are planning in the eyebrow of Lagos in Banana Island. You are planning to build in Banana Island when you cannot even afford to buy a block. So you plan based on what you have right now. So be truthful, be frank with yourself in planning and in projecting the future. What are the exemptions to being frank and truthful? There are some exemptions where the Holy Spirit specifically tells you to work against common sense. Yes, and I've seen that very well. I'll just share some examples. My rent story. For example, when I rented the house I stayed, I think it was just okay. I could pay it because I was alone. I was single. But when I got married and my wife was pregnant, by 2017, I think November or December, I knew that I couldn't afford this house again. So I was ready to go and look for a house in a cheaper area, you know, where I could pay cheaper and all that, where I could afford with what I was earning. But, you know, while trying to make that decision, I didn't hear go from the Holy Spirit. So I just told my pastor, I think my pastor's wife, I said, I'm thinking of moving from this area because we can't afford the rent. She just looked at me and said, relax. And it just resonated in my spirit that relax. Guess what? By December, we were struggling to pay rent. The next year, that's within like 10 months, in less than 10 months, we were ready to buy a car. And we bought a car within 10 months. That means paying rent was no longer an issue. Buying a car was done outrightly. That's how it worked. So sometimes God just tells you that, yes, in planning, in all these things, God can override some of these things. So that's the wisdom of God you are working with now, not the normal wisdom. So there are exemptions. For example, there are exemptions where what you have is not even enough and the Holy Spirit tells you to give. And you give and supply comes. I can mention several testimonies I've had like that. Or maybe somebody you don't know just brought him to your house. Of course, you are following scriptures. But, you know, this time around, this place, you know, is a very high-risk stuff. And the Holy Spirit said, do it. You did it. And what happened was, you got something, a project. And I'm telling you about my personal experience now. The second day when I got to the office, when I entertained this stranger in my house, the second day when I got to the office, a friend of mine who knew what I could do and never gave me a project before looked at me and said, you do this thing. One of my uncles wanted to do it. And he took me there. What I did was within maybe a few hours, overnight, I think it was ready. and what I was paid was almost my 1 month salary. There are times that the Holy Spirit will override some of this frankness and truthful planning to ourselves, but that is a different case. That's an exemption. Praise the Lord. There are so many other things we need to talk about. For example, how you tell your wife the truth may be different from how you tell someone else the truth. For example, let's say your wife just bought a new cloth and you know that this cloth is not fine at all. So are you going to tell your wife that, this cloth is dirty, it's not fine now, why did you buy this? No, you can't do that. But you still won't lie. You can tell him you are beautiful. You are looking very beautiful. You are not talking about the cloth now. You are beautiful. And later you can find a way to tell him that cloth, I really don't like that cloth. I think maybe you change it or give it out or something. You can now find a way to talk about it. So there are cases where frank talk may not work, but always truthful talk will always work. You can't tell somebody of authority, somebody is an authority over you, you can't tell him the truth frankly most times. You just have to find a way to tell them the truth. But no matter what, truth must still be told. How do we maximize truth and frank talk for good success? Speaking the truth may make you isolated, but we bring untold rewards. Speaking the truth may make people make jest of you and look down on you, but I can guarantee that it will make you more trustworthy than anyone else. I've seen it in my own life that the people that made jest of me for speaking the truth, especially several years ago, for speaking the truth, when it comes to recommending you for something good, they are the ones that will recommend you first. Why? Because they know you are always truthful. I've seen people that I met maybe when I was in school, they knew my life then. After several years, they needed to get something done. They found my number, whichever way they found it, and called me that, you know, this idea I want to share. I can't just share with anyone else, but I can share with you because I know the type of person you are. So it guarantees trustworthiness. People will begin to trust you for great things. You may not see the reward at the moment. You will see many of the rewards at the moment, but some of them you won't see at the moment. But in the future, it is guaranteed to bring you rewards. It also makes you trustworthy to God himself. God can give you great things because he knows you'll be truthful with it. Then it's one of the fruit of the Spirit that guarantee eternal life. And also, lastly, you are excluded from all liars. You know, God said all liars shall have their paradise, Revelation 21:8, in the lake of fire. So you are excluded from that list of all liars when you are a truthful person. No matter what it is, we must make sure to understand that maximizing the truth for good success starts with telling yourself the truth and being frank at it. And also making sure that you are truthful to yourself, truthful to others, and always obeying God at all times. And I pray that grace for us to always walk in this may be released in the name of Jesus. There are situations that will come our way that will look like you either decide for God or not. But I pray that the grace for us to stand by the truth may be released in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope we are all blessed tonight. And I pray once again that as we begin to engage in truth and frank talk, that it will bring us great rewards this week in the name of Jesus. God will begin to entrust great riches into our hands, great things, great blessings in Jesus' name. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. Let's have a great week and be blessed in Jesus' name. See you next week. And please invite someone, and you are blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. See you and be ever blessed. The good success.com.